Rise and shine, everyone. How's it going out there? This is Amy, and it is time for Amy's Kids Show. Thank you for joining me this week. And I am super excited once again to be here live in the radio station with some very, very special guests. In fact, these are guests that I've had on the show before, but never together. Because believe it or not, these guys are friends. And I'm going to read a story today about how they became friends. And you're going to find it astonishing that these two creatures ever met in the first place, let alone became such super tight friends. And not only did they meet in the first place and then become super, super awesome friends, but they also are able to help each other out. Now, one of these creatures is big. In fact, it belongs to the animal group that are the largest animals on the planet. Is anybody thinking of a whale right now? Well, yes, a whale, right? A whale, a gigantic whale in the ocean. Well, we can imagine how it would be cool to have a whale for a friend, right? I mean, whales can be super helpful, especially if you get into trouble in the ocean, which, by the way, one of our friends here does get into trouble and does need to come be rescued by a whale named Boris. But here's the really incredible part. Who does Boris the whale become really good friends with? Well, now let's come on to the land, away from the ocean, and think of the smallest, one of the tiniest little creatures who's still a mammal that you can think of. Well, I don't know. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Does that give you any hints? Right? Let's see. Is my mouse friend here? Come on up to the radio here. Come on up. There you are. I know mice tend to speak kind of softly. It's hard to hear them sometimes. But our mouse friend, there he is. There's Amos. Amos, come on up to the mic. Yes. Amos, we're going to read a story about you today. Isn't this exciting? I know I'm so excited that you're here and that we're going to have Boris here too, the whale. And we're going to read your famous story, Amos and Boris, and how you guys become friends and learn from each other's points of view, right? Yes, because here on Amy's Kids Show, we never know who's going to be coming on the episode and who we're going to become friends with next. That's the exciting part about being in this world together. Thanks for joining me. Let's get started.
Early one morning in the month of May, a mouse was scurrying through a field of hay. A little breeze was blowing, tall grass was growing. She kept going along her way. Can you stop and visit? A gray squirrel said. Got a pile of acorns and a crust of bread. Spend the morning hours, smell the wildflowers. Just hurry through the field instead. Two crows were watching from a tall oak tree. Saw the mouse below them. They flew down to see. They were crowing and squawking. Mouse kept walking, so they both flew off and let the little mouse be. At the edge of a meadow by a great big bog, there sat a croaking an old bullfrog. Said, come and join me, I need some company. The mouse said, sorry, and off she jogged. Forest where the light was dim, saw a snake in the shadows. She ran by him, thick brush was growing, but she kept going, never even slowing her scurrying. Got cloudy, it started to rain. She kept on going, didn't complain. Lightning was flashing, thunder was crashing. She kept dashing through the muddy terrain. In a cozy nest in a hollow tree, five little mice waited patiently, huddled together, safe from the weather. They were hungry as they could be. Into that warm nest their mother did creep. They crawled beside her in a cozy heap. They ate and cuddled near next to their mama dear, and they all fell fast asleep. Those babies cuddled near next to their mama dear, and then they all fell fast asleep.
I'm about to all are one. We'll start with a mouse and end at a blue whale. Each heart has to beat all day long. We'll show you in scale.
Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. We'll ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. Pull, pull, pull the sails up. Pull, pull, pull them high. Pull, pull, pull the sails so the ship can race on by. Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. We'll ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. Back and forth the ship goes, side to side it sways. Back and forth the ship goes, side to side all day. Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. We'll ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. I see treasure down below. Come on, jump in, here we go. Jump, jump, jump to the bottom of the sea. Jump, jump, jump with me. Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. We'll ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. Put on the treasures one by one. Rings for your fingers, rings for your thumb. Necklaces and golden shoes. Fill your pockets too. Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. Ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. Oh no, there's a shark. Let's swim, swim away. Swim, swim up to the ship. We've got our treasure for today.
Treasure?
Come sail away with me in the ocean. Come sail away with me. We'll ride the waves and find some treasure. Sail away with me. Now repeat after me. Hi ho!
Yo ho
ho! Yo ho ho!
Hi ho!
Hi ho! Hi ho!
Hi ho!
Yo ho ho!
Yo ho ho!
Sail away with me.
Well, folks, we are going to sail away with Amos and Boris. This is a story by William Steig. It's a Sunburst book, and it was written for Maggie and Melinda. Amos, a mouse, lived by the ocean. He loved the ocean. He loved the smell of sea air. He loved to hear the surf sounds, the bursting breakers, the backwashes with rolling pebbles. He thought a lot about the ocean. And he wondered about the faraway places on the other side of the water. One day, he started building a boat on the beach. He worked on it in the daytime, while at night he studied navigation. When the boat was finished, he loaded it with cheese, biscuits, acorns, honey, wheat germ, 2 barrels of fresh water, a compass, a sextant, a telescope, a saw, a hammer and nails, and some wood in case repairs should be necessary, a needle and thread for the mending of torn sails, and various other necessities such as bandages and iodine, a yo-yo, and playing cards. on the 16th of September with a very calm sea. He waited till the high tide had almost reached his boat, and then, using his most savage strength, he managed to push the boat into the water, climb on board, and set sail. The rodent, for that was the boat's name, proved to be very well made and suited to the sea, and Amos, after one miserable day of seasickness, proved to be a natural sailor, very well suited to sailing a ship. He was enjoying his trip immensely. It was beautiful weather. And one night, in a phosphorescent sea, he marveled at the sight of some whales spouting luminous water. And later, lying on the deck of his boat, gazing at the immense starry sky, the tiny mouse Amos, a little speck of a living thing in the vast living universe, felt thoroughly akin to it all. Overwhelmed by the beauty and mystery of everything, he rolled over and over and right off the deck of his boat and into the sea. "Help!" he squeaked as he grabbed desperately at the rodent. But the boat evaded his grasp and went bowling along under full sail, and he never saw it again. And there he was. Where? In the middle of the immense ocean, 1,000 miles from the nearest shore, with no one else in sight as far as the eye could see, and not even so much as a stick of driftwood to hold on to. "Should I try to swim home?" Amos wondered. "Or should I just try to stay afloat?" He might swim 1 mile, but never 1,000 miles. He decided to just keep afloat, treading water and hoping that something, who knows what, would turn up to save him. But what if a shark or some big fish or horse mackerel turned up? What was he supposed to do to protect himself? He did not know. Morning came, as it always does. He was getting terribly tired. He was a very small, very cold, very wet and worried mouse. There was still nothing in sight but the empty sea. And then, as if things weren't bad enough, it began to rain. At last the rain stopped and the noonday sun gave him a bit of cheer and warmth in the vast loneliness. But his strength was giving out. He began to wonder what it would be like to drown. Would it take very long? Would it feel just awful? As he was thinking these dreadful things and asking himself these dreadful questions, a huge head burst through the surface of the water and loomed up over him. It was a whale.
"What sort of fish are you?" the whale asked. "You must be one of a kind."
"I'm not a fish," said Amos. "I'm a mouse, which is a mammal, the highest form of life. I live on land."
"Holy clam and cuttlefish," said the whale. "I'm a mammal myself, though I live in the sea. Call me Boris."
Amos introduced himself and told Boris how he came to be there in the middle of the ocean. The whale said he would be happy to take Amos to the Ivory Coast of Africa, where he happened to be headed anyway, to attend a meeting of whales from all the seven seas. But Amos said he'd had enough adventure to last him a while. He wanted only to get back home and hoped the whale wouldn't mind going out of his way to take him there.
"Not only would I not mind," said Boris, "I would consider it a privilege. What other whale in all the world ever had the chance to get to know such a strange creature as you? Please climb aboard."
And Amos got on Boris's back. "Are you sure you're a mammal?" Amos asked. "You smell more like a fish." Then Boris the whale went swimming along with Amos the mouse on his back. What a relief to be so safe, so secure again. Amos lay down in the sun and being worn to a frazzle, he was soon asleep. Swimming along, sometimes at great speed, sometimes slowly and leisurely, sometimes resting and exchanging ideas, sometimes stopping to sleep, it took them a week to reach Amos's home shore. And during that time, they developed a deep admiration for one another. Boris admired the delicacy, the quivering daintiness, and the small voice, the gem-like radiance of the mouse. Amos admired the bulk, the grandeur, the power, the purpose, the rich voice, and the abounding friendliness of the whale. They became the closest possible friends. They told each other about their lives, their ambitions. They shared their deepest secrets with each other. The whale was very curious about life on land and was sorry that he could never experience it. Amos was fascinated by the whale's accounts of what went on deep under the sea. Amos sometimes enjoyed running up and down on the whale's back for exercise, and when he was hungry, he ate plankton. The only thing he missed was fresh, unsalty water. The time to say goodbye had come. They were at the shore. "I wish we could be friends forever," said Boris. "We will be friends forever, but we can't be together. You must live on land, and I must live at sea. I'll never forget you, though."
"And you can be sure I'll never forget you," said Amos. "I will always be grateful to you for saving my life, and I want you to remember that if you ever need my help, I'd be more than glad to give it."
How he could ever possibly help a giant whale like Boris, Amos didn't know. He knew how willing he was. The whale couldn't take Amos all the way into the land. They said their last goodbye, and Amos dived off Boris's back and swam to the sand. From the top of a cliff, he watched Boris spout twice and disappear. Boris laughed to himself.
"How could that little mouse ever help me? Little as he is, he's all heart. I love him, and I'll miss him terribly."
Boris went to the conference off the Ivory Coast of Africa, and then went back to a life of whaling about, while Amos returned to his life of mousing around. And they were both happy. Many years after the incidents just described, when Amos was no longer a very young mouse, and when Boris was no longer a very young whale, there occurred one of the worst storms of the century. Hurricane Yetta. And it just so happened that Boris the Whale was flung ashore by a tidal wave and stranded on the very shore where Amos happened to make his home. It also just so happened that when the storm had cleared up and Boris was lying high and dry on the sand, losing his moisture in the hot sun and needing desperately to be back in the water, Amos came down the beach to see how much damage Hurricane Yetta had done. Of course, Boris and Amos recognized each other at once, and I don't have to tell you how these old friends felt at meeting again in this desperate situation. Amos rushed toward Boris, but Boris could only look at Amos. "Amos, help me," said the mountain of a whale to the moat of a mouse. "I think I'll die if I don't get back in the water soon." Amos gazed at Boris in an agony of pity. He realized he had to do something very fast and had to think very fast about what it was he had to do. Suddenly, he was gone.
"I'm afraid he won't be able to help me," said Boris to himself. "Much as he wants to do something, what can such a little fellow do?"
Just as Amos had once felt all alone in the middle of the ocean, Boris felt now lying alone on the shore. He was sure he would die. And just as he was preparing to die, Amos came racing back with two of the biggest elephants he could find. Without wasting time, these two good-hearted elephants got to pushing with all their might at Boris's huge body until he began turning over, breaded with sand, and rolling, rolling down toward the sea. Amos, standing on the head of one of the elephants, yelled instructions, but no one heard him. In a few minutes, Boris was already in water, with waves washing at him, and he was feeling the wonderful wetness.
"You have to be out of the sea to really know how good it is to be in it," he thought. "That is, if you're a whale."
Soon, he was able to wiggle and wriggle into deeper water. He looked back at Amos on the elephant's head. Tears were rolling down the great whale's cheeks. The tiny mouse had tears in his eyes, too. "Goodbye, dear friend," squeaked Amos.
"Goodbye, dear friend," rumbled Boris.
And then he disappeared in the waves. They knew they might never meet again. And they knew they would never forget each other. The end.
Where a family once lived. They dreamed of traveling the world, and that's just what they did. The family packed up their bags and bought a sailing boat. They learned how to be sailors and how to make it on their own. Used to one night, a storm rolled in. The wind and rain picked up. The waves crashed higher than they'd ever seen. And all that they could do was wait. Their adventure carried on, and they sailed away, far, far away from the place they used to call home. And they sailed away, far, far away from the
the age of 10, I went to watch the whales. They know 'em by the flukes, they know 'em by their tails. All the flukes are different, the patterns aren't the same. If you see a humpback tail, then you can learn their name. Our boat goes into Stellwagen, where the whales swim free. I've been there so many times that the crew knows me. I've seen the whale called Cat's Paw, you know she has no flea. I've met the cyclone who's as gentle as a breeze. Whale watch, we're rolling to starboard, look about. Did she say that rise of spray could be a whale spout? With cameras at the ready, the scientists proclaim, we can track each humpback from the tail that tells their name. Watch out for the drip, a drip that's 65 feet long. And you may see salsa dancing to the ocean song. There's Lance and there's Torpedo, but they won't make us halt. And Crystal is the baby whose mother's name is Salt. Well, some names are so corny that you gotta cringe. When Mother is named Thread, they call her Baby Fringe. The first were Salt and Pepper, there's Pinstripe and there's Moss. With all the gunk in their Bailey, I'd like to call her Floss. Whale watch, we're rolling to starboard, look about. Did she say that rise of spray could be a whale spout? With cameras at the ready, the scientists proclaim, we can track each humpback from the tail that tells their name. Our captain shouts at 6 o'clock, that means rush to the back. And there's a sight of lacy flukes, completely shiny black. That means that this is Falco, and when we see her calf, they know her name is Epaulette. Her leaping makes me laugh. Well, Falco, she is feeding the giant mouth I see, scooping up the sand eels with great frivolity. She weaves a net of bubbles, her baby watches prowl, as she rises up with open mouth and lunges through the cloud. We'll watch, we're rolling to starboard, look about. Did you say that rise of spray could be a whale spout? With cameras at the ready, the scientists proclaim, we can track each humpback from the tail that tells their name. Out for more whales, and I can feel the splash of giant waves are rolling as rainy winds they blast. I'm leaning from the railing and screaming as straight at me. One is just a baby, it's flopping on its back. They say that this a new calf who gives those waves a crack. And I would like to name that calf a name we won't forget. With all those white dots on its flukes, I'll call it Bubble Net. Whale watch, we're rolling to starboard, look about. Did you say that rise of spray could be a whale spout? With cameras at the ready, the scientists proclaim, we can track each humpback from the tail that tells the name. And so when it turned autumn, the crew did congregate. For the naming of that new whale, raise glasses, fill your plate. I went there and I told them what I thought the name should be. They laughed and then they shouted, Bubble Net, it's gonna be. Whale watch, we're rolling to starboard, look about. Did she say that rise of spray could be a whale spout? And if you see a black tail with dotted alphabet, if it has white polka dots, it's probably Bubble Net.
Cleared his throat and blew his spout. I was glad I brought a raincoat as it turned out. He spoke of a day when his parents were swimming not long after a storm, and they found battered and worn a shipwrecked, orphaned little baby boy. And so the whales, they decided to stay with that child for an hour or two. They held him up so he could catch his breath, therefore snatching this boy from the jaws of death. They nosed him gently to the shoreline, at great risk and peril to themselves. Once safe, they turned and wished him well. And with their great flukes, they pushed back into the sea. That little boy, he grew up to be a well-loved member of his community. And if a sad thought would come over him, well, he'd think back fondly to that childhood swim. One day as he walked into the forest, he heard the faint cries of a hound, and in a crevice deep within he found a wolf pup whose family had sadly all been killed. And so the boy, he raised that wolf to be a proud example of the canine tree. Once full grown, the wolf went on his own to the edge of the forest where the great seas foamed. Marooned by the tide, there was a baby, a gentle giant of the sea. And the wolf, he heard the parents' pleas. So he dug and he scratched at the sand until the whale was finally freed. And so, my friend, here my story ends, said the whale with a chuckle that nearly gave me the bends. He said, I'm here to speak and to roam the sea, 'cause you know that beach baby whale that the wolf had saved? Well, that was me.
Sarah, come on over here. I've got a song for you.
Okay.
Now, no matter what you think, this song isn't about you. In San Francisco Bay, there lives a whale.
She eats pork chops by the pail, by the pillbox, by the suitcase, by the bathtub, by the schooner. Her name is Sarah, and she's a peach. But you can't leave food within her reach, nor nursemaids, nor Airedales, that's kind of dog, nor chocolate ice cream sodas. She eats a lot, and when she smiles, you can see her teeth for miles and miles, and her adenoids, and her spare ribs, and other things too fierce to mention. So, what can you do in a case like that? What can you do but sit on your hat, or your toothbrush, or your grandmother, or anything else that's helpless? Well, now that you heard the song, you can fill in the blanks that I leave, okay?
Okay.
In San Francisco Bay, there lives a
whale.
She eats pork chops by the
pail,
by the pillbox, by the
suitcase,
by the
bathtub,
by the schooner. Her name is
Sarah.
Yes. And she's a
peach.
But you can't leave food within her
reach,
nor nursemaids, nor
Airedales,
nor chocolate ice cream
sodas.
She eats a lot, and when she
smiles,
you can see her
teeth
for miles and
miles,
and her adenoids, and her
spare ribs,
and other things too fierce to
mention. So,
what can you do in a case like
that?
What can you do but sit on your
hat,
or your
toothbrush,
or your
grandmother,
or anything else that's
helpless?
That's it.
In the Atlantic Ocean, a blue whale has the blues. He may have a great big heart, there's no one to give it to. Searching through the ocean, round and round and round, there just aren't so many blue whales to be found. When a blue whale has the blues, he'll be wailing all night long. Miles and miles through the waves, you hear the sad, sad song. In the Pacific Ocean, there's a whale, also blue. She may have a great big heart, there's no one to give it to. Searching through the ocean, round and round and round, there just aren't so many blue whales to be found. When a blue whale has the blues, she'll be wailing all day long. Miles and miles through the waves, you hear the sad, sad song.
Perhaps their paths will cross someday, and then things wouldn't seem so callous. Beneath the moonlit icebergs and the aurora, Australis.
almost met one time, a little south of Cape Horn. But an iceberg came between and left them quite forlorn. Till they met in Monterey Bay and agreed to seal their fate. They both took the plunge below the Golden Gates.
Mice are small, cute, and intelligent creatures. Their hind legs are shorter than their forelegs. The tail of a mouse is almost as long as its body. Mice cannot see color, but they have a strong sense of hearing and smell. They also do not like broad daylight. They are active during dusk and dawn. They sleep for more than 12 hours a day. They need to keep eating all the time.
They don't? Well, what am I thinking of?
Monkeys.
Oh, well, in that case.
Monkeys, I like monkeys. I like how they swim in the ocean. I like...
That's fish.
Oh, I see.
Fish. I like fish. I like how they scratch at fleas. And sniff at trees and bark at the mailman.
No.
No.
I'm a dog.
Ah.
Gotta like dogs,
right?
Yeah. Curled up on the windowsill, purring and chasing mice.
Well, what then?
Cats.
Cats, of course.
Cats. I like cats. I like how they say cock-a-doodle-doo.
No, 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 no.
They
go meow.
They do.
I'm thinking of
roosters.
Oh.
Roosters, I like roosters. I like how they gallop and trot.
I
like
horses. Horses, I like horses. I like how they reach into for the honey.
Mm. No.
Bears do that.
Ah, bears. Yes, 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 yes.
Bears. I like bears. I like how they jump up high to catch a fly and sit on a lily pad.
No, no, no. Frogs.
Gotta like frogs. For some cheese.
No.
Oh. mice.
Mice, I like mice. I like how they say yee-haw, yee-haw.
They go squeak, squeak. That's a donkey.
Donkeys, I like donkeys. I like how they hop and eat carrots. I like... What is it?
It's a bunny rabbit.
Oh, so it is. Rabbits, I like rabbits. I like how they stomp through the jungle with their big gray trunks.
That's an elephant.
Right, that's like I said.
Elephants, I like elephants.
You don't know anything about animals.
I do so.
You're silly.
Am not.
Well, folks, we have come to the end of another episode of Amy's Kids Show, and I love that song. I love that song, the elephant song, because it is really easy to get confused. There are so many amazing creatures just here on our planet, right? So many amazing creatures, and you really couldn't pick two that are much more different than our friends here who were here today, Amos and Boris. Right, Amos? We had our friend Amos the mouse. Right, and Boris the whale. There you are, Boris. Wow, when these two came together in the ocean to become friends, what did you think? Did you think that was an interesting combination of creatures? Well, I think it's interesting that right away, Amos the mouse pointed out one thing that they had in common. They're both mammals. Yeah, and we mammal creatures, we often are looking out for each other, aren't we? Right, that's called being friends. And wow, if a whale can help a mouse, then why can't a mouse help a whale? Right? That was my favorite part of the story, was when Amos comes back to the beach with who? With two giant elephants, right? Two other friends of his, right? Maybe Amos himself was not strong enough to push Boris back to the sea, but he had friends who were, and that's all that counts, right? He thought really quickly, and he called on his friends. And I just love that. Right, Amos? Right. We should never underestimate the power of our friends, right? That's what gets us through life. Our friends watching out for each other, doing nice things for each other. And here on Amy's Kids Show, that is what we're all about. Celebrating friendship. And celebrating seeing the world through someone else's point of view. Which is what Boris and Amos did. They spent time together and they talked and they got to know about each other and each other's point of view. And that helped them learn so much. Wow, guys, who are you going to talk with this week? Who are you going to make friends with? Who's somebody who's very different from you, who maybe you could have a conversation with and get to know? And who knows, maybe you can help them. And I'm sure they can help you, because that's what we do here on planet Earth. And I am so glad to be here with you, all of you out there listening to Amy's Kids Show here on WMRW on Sundays at 2 o'clock live. And then again on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Rise and shine. Remember, guys, you're the greatest. We'll be back next week with who knows who else we're going to bring back for Amy's Kids Show next time.
Mechanical mouse organ.
I saw a ship a-sailing on the sea. And oh, but it was laden with pretty things for thee. There were comfits in the cabin and apples in the hold. The sails were made of silk and the masts were made of gold. The 24 sailors that stood between the decks were 24 white mice with chains around their necks. The captain was a duck with a packet on his back. And when the ship began to move, the captain said, quack, quack.